This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hizril. And our next story is about foreign spouses and their rights. So during the MCO, we've seen reports and heard stories of people being separated from their loved ones, mainly due to borders if they were studying or working abroad, or they just had bad luck and traveled before the sudden announcement of the MCO. So as government was trying to figure out the policy, like say the 14-day mandatory quarantine for returnees, for example, many were... When they figured that out, many were able to see their loved ones again. But that's not the story for many with foreign spouses.
That's right. And so right now, only foreign spouses with a long-term social visit pass and a marriage certificate are allowed to enter Malaysia. Those who don't are kept apart from their loved ones here, and families come with different contexts. You know, for example, they may have just married recently and haven't yet met the minimum of the six-month requirement to get the social visit pass, and they were previously staying in the country on a short-term pass, student pass, or work permits instead.
And just yesterday, Defence Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob said that permanent residents, spouses with PR status, and foreigners on social visit passes in the country have to pay for their own accommodation during the mandatory quarantine or risk having their immigration privileges revoked. So the ministers said that there are some from this group that have refused to pay, and added that the penalty is that the immigration department may compel pass holders to renew their passes every 2 to 3 months instead of every 2 to 3 years until payment is made. And that is quite expensive if you think about it, right? It's for 14 days. It's right. 14-day lodging, 150 ringgit a day, which adds up to 2,100 ringgit total.
Right. That can seem like a lump sum, isn't it? But then again, you know, I'm wondering if a lot of, you know, foreign spouses who, you know, do work in big companies, I wonder if, you know, those, they have some sort of benefits or perks that will cover some of these costs and allow them to stay. But I guess, you know, for expats who are in more unique situations, like we looked at just now, it may be, you know, harder to do so. And, you know, expenses can, I guess, be the make or break a family in this case, can't they? It can actually force, you know, relatives to be sent back to countries that may be, that may have face worse situations than Malaysia in terms of the pandemic. So I guess here, in some cases, it could really be a matter, a real health concern to ensure, you know, to try, as I could, you know, understand how a lot of families may want to keep their families here rather than in other countries where it's worse off.
Yeah, and, you know, there are so many different accounts and so many different stories about their experiences right now, right? And it's very context dependent. If you had happened to, say, been expecting and had given birth in another country, you were expecting to come back to Malaysia to be able to do that, and you couldn't, right, when the MCO started. And then there are things like, well, you know, you went back to visit your parents who live in another country, and now you cannot come back because of this, and now you're separated from your spouse, you're separated from your kids, you're also separated likely from certain jobs. So there are certain conditions in which you can come back, but it's not broad enough, or neither it, does it seem like there is, I don't want to say interest, but I guess, you know, very loosely put, that neither is the interest to look at individual cases and then try to sort them out one by one, right? You know, right now it's, if you're a foreign diplomat and you have a spouse, you can enter, but you must have a dependent pass. If, say, you are an expat, for example, involved in essential services, in certain cases, you do need to get permission from the Immigration Director General first before you're able to come back to the country. And that separation is not handy, you know, if you're especially first now starting a family, very difficult times, or if you struggle as a single parent, temporarily, also very, very difficult. It does seem like something you can avoid. It just does seem like, well, all the government has to do is let my spouse into the country. And that's all it'll take to solve so many of my problems.
Right. And, you know, if they can come into the country, it also looks like the situation is dependent on the financial situation of each family, where they stand. Again, I think it reminds me of some quote that I've been seeing around, to paraphrase, you know, we're all in the same storm, but we're not on the same boat. And I've interned at the UN before. I'm quite familiar with the diplomatic community. So it looks here that foreign diplomats can enter the country, right? They just need to self-quarantine for 14 days and give the dependent pass for family. So it seems that, of course, they get privileges and perks that a lot of other expats may not get.
Yeah, so after this, we're going to look into all of these issues together with the Foreign Spouses Support Group. If you have any questions or thoughts, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezril, and we're talking about foreign spouses and their rights and how they're coping during the MCO. A lot of them, unfortunately, have been facing quite difficult circumstances, as well as, you know, struggling to deal with the ridiculous sometimes amount of bureaucracy that they have to go through. So we're going to learn more about these experiences, find out what they're facing. And to do that with us is Bina Ramanand, co-founder of the FSSG, or the Foreign Spouses Support Group. Bina, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kelvin, for having me here. And I hope that some of the spouses would actually get some more information. And so annually, there are 100,000 Malaysians who get married to non-citizens. That's a huge number. And at times like this, it is particularly stressful, and many of them fall into vulnerable situations. For everyone, it's a stressful time, but for some, more drastically than others. Especially for those of us who are transnational marriages, many have experienced family separation. In times like this, families need to be together.
Yeah, and you know, I think also because the MCO was just announced quite suddenly, and it was at first just a 2-week length, so well, that's okay. But then now it's extended to almost 3 months. It's a large community, but could you tell us in general what's been particularly challenging during this period?
Exactly. So what's happened is many pregnant wives are separated from their husbands because their spouses do not have the spouse visa or the long-term social visit pass. These terms are used interchangeably, but it should be that any spouse of a Malaysian or any spouse of a person who lives in Malaysia on a long-term basis should be allowed to come in, with, of course, observing the mandatory 14 days quarantine. Now, there are some people with medical conditions even who are unable to return, and they have written in letters. That being said, there are some who have appealed their cases, were able to come back home. And so we're really thankful to the government who have considered those. But there are still lots more cases of new fathers who have not seen their newborn children, of pregnant Malaysian mothers who plan to give birth in Malaysia so that their children can obtain citizenship. But they have to remain overseas due to the dangers of traveling during this time. And they are worried that their children cannot get citizenship. We also have non-Malaysian children of Malaysians who are studying overseas and are locked out. We all thought it was for 2 months, two weeks, and well, we'll manage with that. But now it's coming to 3 months. It's too long for children to be away from their parents. It's too long for new mothers to be away without help. Some of them are facing even postpartum depression. Domestic violence is on the rise because childcare centers are not open as yet, and there's not much respite. So there should be special consideration for those families who are separated.
Right, certainly a host of very diverse challenges there. But before we get into what the defense minister said, could you give us an overview of what's actually required for foreign spouses to live and work here in Malaysia?
Oh, okay. It's tough. It's a tough call. I mean, many don't know how difficult it is. First, there are discriminations to the policy and practice with regard to the visa and how, and it really disadvantages the Malaysian woman. So the first 6 months, a foreign husband is not given any visa, which means he either does a visa run or goes to his home country. And they're newly married, bear that in mind. And so what happens if that country is Peru, Brazil, or Egypt? The airfares are astronomical, not such a good start for a newly married couple. And although the Malaysian immigration states that spouses can work on the spouse visa comes with a statement of prohibition from employment. And this makes it really difficult for a spouse to secure a job because employers don't want to take the risk when they see that statement which says prohibited from all forms of employment. So there are many professionals who are able to secure jobs easily outside the country. And so they go out and work and they are not given a spouse visa. So what happens is when they are the ones who are stuck right now, professionals who have gone overseas to work. Some people went on a visit and they're not able to return back. So basically any family member should be given the chance to return back, considering the long duration. And we understand the situation, they should be able to do the quarantine. But that being said, even without employment, one cannot even open a bank account sometimes if you're not employed. It's really hard for an individual to open a bank account. And without permanent residence, it's hard to secure professional licenses, such as to get an IR, to work as an engineer or an architect, or to even work simply in the banking sector. PR these days is a dream. It's a faraway dream for many Malaysians. Worse, when the Malaysian spouse passes on. The foreign spouse may have to leave, but what happens? They may be in their 60s. They don't have anybody left in their home country. And a divorced father also does not have any special visa, even though he may be paying for maintenance of the child. This is not in the best interest of the children.
Right. And I guess even on that note, the next struggle is likely on renewing their social passes. With the MCO as well as the CMCO now in effect, have foreign spouses and families been able to renew these passes?
Yes. And actually, the first day of renewal started on, was it 13th of May? So, in fact, that was the day we actually visited immigration. We were actually impressed because we were expecting huge crowds, but immigration took precautionary measures. So all appointments for visa, pass and permits must be made by the immigration website through the STO portal. It is hard, it is slow, and some are getting the dates much later, but immigration said they will give due consideration, and we were happy to hear that. Spouses who hold the long-term service social visit pass will have 30 days grace period for their renewal. And that is from the date the CMCO is lifted. So even if you are not able to get a renewal date, a further date than that, I think it could be immigration may come out with some kind of statement with regard to that. A Malaysian spouse need not accompany the foreign spouse, which was in the past. You cannot renew your visa if your Malaysian spouse is not present. However, now the special consideration is made. And so those who have children to take care of and those who are stuck overseas, they don't need to return back. But once the documents are all signed, they can be submitted. And the presence of the Malaysian spouse requires to only give a letter to say he wants his spouse's visa to be renewed. So there's one more thing. Foreigners holding the social visit pass will only have 14 days to leave the country once the MCO is lifted. But here we need special consideration. We need special consideration to be given to spouses who are holding the this short-term visa. They should not be asked to leave the country just to renew their visa.
Right. And as we all know, of course, for everyone returning back home here in Malaysia, travelers need to go undergo a 14-day quarantine. So the defense minister said that there are individuals who have refused to pay for the accommodation for their quarantines. Why is this the case?
We haven't received any complaints, but I'm sure there might have been people who were not able to pay. We're not sure whether that information was given to them before they boarded the flight, or, you know, when they booked their travel tickets, that they have to pay, foreigners have to pay 150 ringgit per day for the period of 14 days. So it comes minimum charges 2,100. Well, many wanted to come here. They were willing to pay the fee and return. There may be some who have lost their jobs, may be unable to pay. Perhaps some consideration like pay by installments should be given to them. Maybe they can consider that.
Right. And, you know, the defense minister did say that some of these immigration privileges might be revoked. What impact would it have? And could you take us through what that will do?
Ouch. Life is already intolerable for many. Many have lost their jobs. And if they're going to get like a 3-month visa, the vulnerability of the women are going to be intensified. You know, it's an economically stressful period. You know, people need to work because one or the other has lost their jobs or taking huge pay cuts. So it'll be very, very difficult. So we do hope that some due consideration is given to this, because these are people with families and children. And, well, we understand that there is also the commitment that we have to pay back. And they should be made to pay. Yeah.
Right.
Some of them are taxpayers. So this was the conversation that went when we put up the notice, because we wanted to inform on our page that you have to pay 150 ringgit per day. And someone said, I pay tax, same as any other Malaysian. I'm here in this country for 14 years. Should I be quarantined? And we said, well, this is one of the conditions. We agreed to the quarantine and...
Now, the support group recently met with the immigration department. What issues did you bring up with them, considering, you know, there are a lot of issues going on, and how did they respond?
Well, this was the first meeting of this kind, and it was a very insightful and informative meeting. It was a good exchange of both sides, views from both sides. We had a list of 30 questions actually to ask immigration, because this was the first time we were meeting them, and so many things that had to be sorted. Many were resolved, but these engagements should continue, because foreign spouses it's not a foreign issue. We are living in Malaysian families. It is the family, the children, the Malaysian woman who is really affected. It impacts them so badly. So therefore, due consideration should be made to the people who are impacted by these laws.
Right. So how best can the government support the community right now, and what could be improved?
Yeah, for one thing, I think this is not the time to be asking people to go out of the country to renew their short-term visas. Okay, there are children. There are fathers of these children. There are spouses. They definitely should not be asked to leave the country in these times. And if they return, they're going to expose not just the family, but the society at large to the pandemic. So basically, we just hope. And the government of Malaysia always maintains that the well-being of the family is of utmost importance. Therefore, it is really necessary to respond to the needs of these spouses, which impacts Malaysian families. Communication channels should be kept open. In times like these, we always should remember that women and children are disproportionately impacted, even more for those who, you know, who are financially disadvantaged. Immediately, irrespective of what visas a person is holding, but spouses and children should be permitted to enter Malaysia. 3 months is too long to remain away from the family. Similarly, those who are in the country should not be asked to leave and return, putting their lives at risk. Citizenship should be given to children born overseas to Malaysian mothers during this period as a temporary measure until such time the parliament decides to take a legislative option of granting citizenship on an equal basis as Malaysian men. So it is imperative that families remain together during these difficult times to enable them to emerge through this pandemic as a family, safely and in good health. And we just hope the government is going to give due consideration to that. Thank you.
Bina, on that note, thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you very much.
That was Bina Ramanan, co-founder of the FSSG, or the Foreign Spouses Support Group. You can find them on Facebook with exactly that name to get more details and more information. And if you need any sort of assistance, you can find all those resources there. We are headed to the 6:30 news. You are with the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.